Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
Amen. Amen. I surrender all. Let us pray as we surrender all to Jesus this evening. Just want to say happy Sabbath to each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry. Kind and loving Father, we thank you this day. Lord, we want to surrender all to you. Father, please forgive us where we have failed and come short. Lord, help us to consecrate our life, our hearts, our ministry, our family, our friends, whatever we have to you, Lord. We cannot give you of our own heart. We ask that you will take our hearts, our will, our wants, our needs, Lord, and help us to be submissive to your will. Help us to love you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. And help us most of all to be obedient unto you as dear children, Lord. There's no peace or happiness outside of you because love cometh from you because God is love. And in you we'll find love, we'll find rest, we'll find peace and joy. We'll find our self-worth, Lord, because you have created us and you know each and every one of us by name. You know us by nature. You know even our handprints, Lord, the numbers of our hairs, Lord, all those things you know, and you have a book of remembrance about each and every one of us. We confess our sins. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our transgression, our iniquities, Lord. Bless us this evening as we come together and share. Help us to be unified in love, in truth, in spirit. We thank you. We praise you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. I will start with a reading. Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath to my brothers and sisters in China, Japan, Canada, the United Kingdom, Netherlands, wherever you may be in the Caribbean, wherever you may be or listening to this rebroadcast, we want to welcome you and thank you for joining us. Amen. This is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy. It says, in coming to Christ, there must be an experience of faith. I'm sorry, an exercise of faith. We need to bring him into our everyday life. Then we shall have peace and joy. We shall know by experience the meaning of his word. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John chapter 15, verse 10. Our faith must claim the promise that we may abide in the love of Jesus. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that you and that your joy might be full. That's verse 11 from John chapter 15. Faith works by love and purifies the soul. Through faith, the Holy Spirit finds access to the heart. The creatures, Faith works by love and purifies the soul. Through faith, the Holy Spirit finds access to the heart and creates holiness therein. Man cannot become an agent to work the works of Christ unless he is in communion with God. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. So the only way we can be in communion with God is through the Holy Spirit, right? And we know Jesus also because he's our mediator. Continue. We can be fitted for heaven only through a transformation of character. We must have Christ's righteousness as our credential. If we would find access to the Father, we must be partaker of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we must daily be transformed by the influence of no other than the Holy Spirit. For it is the work of the Holy Spirit to elevate the taste, to sanctify the heart, to ennoble the whole man by presented to the soul the matchless claim of Jesus. YRP, paragraph 77, page 77, paragraph 3. YRP, page 77, paragraph 3. What a powerful statement. So the work has to be done through the Holy Spirit. And we have to have faith. We have to claim God's promises. We have to submit. Amen. The Lord. What a blessed hope we have in the Word of God. And we know that Christ is the Word. The Word became flesh. And He is our surety. He is the one and only way that we can come to the Father by accepting the Lord Jesus as our Savior so that we can be saved. Amen. So again, I just want to welcome each and every one of my brothers and sisters to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Good evening and happy Sabbath. As this weekend, the time will be going forward. The time will spring forward this weekend. So we have to, usually the clock will turn forward by itself, but some device, we have to turn them forward. But the electronic stuff, some of them will go forward by itself. So I will be reading from Steps to Christ. We're just waiting for a few more brothers and sisters to join us and to press one so that they can share in their testimonies and prayer requests. Steps to Christ, and this is chapter 5, starting at paragraph 43.4. It said, in giving ourselves to God, we must necessarily give up all that would separate us from Him. Hence the Savior says, whosoever he be of you that forsaken not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Whatever shall draw away the heart from God must be given up. Mammon is the idol of many. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is the golden chain that binds them to Satan. Reputation and worldly honors are worshipped by another class. The life of selfish ease and freedom from responsibility is an idol of others. Wow. But these slavish bands must be broken. We cannot be half the Lord's and half the world's. We are not God's children unless we are such entirely. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own effort to obey His law, to form a right character and secure salvation. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them. In order to gain heaven, such religion is worth nothing. When Christ dwells in the heart, the soul will be filled with His love, with the joy of communion with Him, that it will cleave to Him, and in the contemplation of Him, self will be forgotten. Sorry. To love Christ will be the spring of action. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not ask how little may be given to meet the requirements of God. They do not ask for the lowest standard, but aim at perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. With earnest desire, they yield all and manifest an interest proportionate to the value of the object which they seek. A profession of Christ without this deep love is mere talk, dry formality, and heavy drudgery. So may the Lord have mercy on us that we're not just hearers of the word, but that we're doers of the word. We're not just professing, but we have action with the words. Amen. So the Lord is truly good, and he is worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. So I just gonna play a song. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write it across my heart. That should be each and every one of our desire, to hear the story of Jesus, to remember it, to meditate upon his story, what he had done to us, what he had gave up for each and every one of us, so that we can have life and life everlasting. I will continue to read Steps to Christ, chapter 5. I'm at page 44, paragraph 2. It said, do you feel that it is too great a sacrifice to yield all to Christ? Ask yourself the question, what has Christ given for me? The Son of God gave all, life and love and suffering, for our redemption. And can it be that we, the unworthy object of so great love, will withhold our hearts from him? Every moment of our lives, we have been partakers of the blessings of his grace. And for this very reason, we cannot fully realize the depths of ignorance and misery from which we have been saved. Can we look upon him whom our sins have pierced and yet be willing to despite to all his love and sacrifice? In view of the infinite humiliation of the Lord of glory, shall we murmur? Because we can enter into life only through conflict and self-abasement? The inquiry of many a proud heart is, why need I go in penitence and humiliation before I can have the assurance of my acceptance with God? I point you to Christ. He was sinless, and more than this, he was the Prince of Heaven. But in man's behalf, he became sin for the race. He was numbered with the transgressor, and he bears the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressor. That is us, brothers and sisters. And that is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. I'm going to read another paragraph before I go back to the lines and open it. So press 1. Okay. It said, but what do we give up when we give all, a sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by his own blood, and to save by his matchless love? And yet men think it hard to give up all? I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. God does not require us to give up anything that is for our own best interest to retain. Amen. In all that he does, he has the well-being of his children in view. Would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that he has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. Man is doing the greatest injury and injustice to his own soul when he thinks to act contrary to the will of God. Again, man is doing the greatest injury to his and injustice to his own soul when he thinks and acts contrary to the will of God. No real joy can be found in the path forbidden by him who knows what is best and who plans for the good of his creatures. The path of transgression is the path of misery and destruction. Wow. So let us choose the path of righteousness that leads to heaven, that narrow way, and not that wide, broad way that leads to destruction and hell. My brothers and sisters, let us seek the Lord. and his will for us. Amen. So I'll go back to the line. Again, if you want to share, press 1 so that I can open your line. Happy Sabbath. 857-505. Your line is now open.
Amen. Amen. Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, my brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath to you all. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because he is worthy to be praised. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, brothers and sisters, and be glad in it, because God is able. He's amazing God. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, my brothers and sisters on this prayer line. Sister Carla, my brothers and sisters on this prayer line, be faithful unto the Lord. God will break every chain for you all. God will give you deliverance, my brothers and sisters on this prayer line. May God bless you all in this prayer line. And Sister Carla, I'm going to ask you permission. May I sing a song, my beloved sister? Because I want to ask you permission at the moment. Amen.
Amen. You can sing the first and last standard of your song, Brother Eli, please. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You are Yahweh. 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 Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. My new prayer request, Sister Carla, is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer. And Sister Carla, please lift up Sister Shakaya in prayer. Her name starts with a K, K-Y-A-H. Lift up Sister Shakaya in prayer. Don't forget to lift up Brother Shaq in prayer. His name is Brother Shaq, too. Please lift him up in prayer. S-H-A-Q, Brother Shaq. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. May God bless you on the prayer line, my beloved brothers and sisters on the prayer line.
Amen. 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 Brother Eli, could you just give a short prayer for the youths, please? Could you just give a short prayer for the youth? Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. God, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God. God, we want to praise you, Lord. We want to magnify your name, God. God, we want to give you thanks and praise because God, you deserve the praise, Lord, at this moment, Lord. How excellent is your name, God. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift our Sister Carla to you, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Carla, Lord. Bless the host, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Carla's daughter, God, and son, Lord, the youth too, Lord. We ask God to send your holy angels, God, watch over them, Lord. Send your holy angels, God, watch over Sister Carla's daughter and son too, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. God, we ask God, allow them to sing praises unto you, Lord. We ask God to watch over them, Lord. Bless Sister Miola's daughter, Lord, her sons too, Lord. Watch over her daughters and son too, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for them, Lord. God, how excellent is your name, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko's daughter to you, God, and her sons, Lord. We ask God to bless them, God, in the mark way, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for them, Lord. God, we want to thank you, Lord. Allow them to praise you, Lord. Allow them to magnify your name, God, to give you thanks and praise, Lord. God, God, come bless us, God. God, God, at this moment, God, allow us to have a 40 days too, Lord, on the Advent Light Ministry, Lord. We ask God to allow the host, Lord, Sister Carla, Lord, to mention that too, Lord, on the prayer line, Lord. We should have a 40 days on the prayer line, God. God, we ask God to come bless us, God, on the Advent Light Ministry, Lord. We should have a 40 days, Lord. Bless us, God. Bless every single one of us, God. Bless us, the Stephanie's daughter and son, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. Watch over all of us, God. God, watch over Sister Miola, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. Bless Sister Miola, God, in the mockery, Lord. God, bless Sister Tamiko's nieces, her nephew, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. Watch over everyone, God. Bless us, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Eli, for that prayer. Thank you for, petitioning our family, Advent Light family, and our friends. We know we all need prayer. We shouldn't go by a day, a moment without prayer, because prayer is the tool that we need. Prayer is powerful, and we know that God hear our prayer and he answers them accordingly, so that when we pray and ask for things according to his will, he will hear them and answer them. So again, thank you, Brother Eli, for that prayer. Thank you for sharing. May the Lord continue to bless you and bless your mother, also the rest of your families and friends. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. God is truly worthy to be praised. Each and every day that we wake up, it's not because of our own means of waking us up. It's because that God saw it fit to wake us up another day so that we can give him the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. So again, press 1 if you would like to share at this time. And if there's any testimonies, scripture reading or prayer requests, please go ahead and share at this time so that we can, before the speaker comes on, that we can petition on the behalf of those questions. Amen. So I was reading Steps to Christ chapter 5. So, I will read another paragraph until my brothers and sisters press 1 and sharing. Okay? And this is paragraph 46.2. It says, it is a mistake to entertain the thought that God is pleased to see his children suffer. All heaven is interested in the happiness of men. Our Heavenly Father does not close the avenues of joy to any of his creatures. The divine requirements call upon us to shun those indulgences that would bring suffering and disappointment, that would close to us the door of happiness and heaven. The world's Redeemer accepts men as they are, with all their wants, imperfection, and weakness, and he will not only cleanse from sin and grant redemption through his blood, but will satisfy the heart longing of all who consent to wear his yoke, to bear his burden. It is his purpose to impart peace and rest to all who come unto him for the bread of life. He requires us to perform only those duties that will lead our steps to heights of bliss to which the disobedient can never attain. The true joyous life of the soul is to have Christ form within, the hope of glory. Amen. So the true joy of life of the soul is to have Christ form within the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. So I'll go to the next caller that has pressed 1. Welcome and happy Sabbath. 225-337. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister Carla. Is my line open? Amen.
Yes. Your line is open.
Amen. I just want to give God thanks for his Sabbath. I'm sorry I won't be able to read or sing my song because I cannot find my glasses, but I'm just going to give God the praise for another week that we have seen this day come, the Sabbath. And it is a blessing to be here to worship on the Sabbath. So I want to give God thanks for that. And also, I want to just lift up my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. And when we come, we are coming here to fellowship with one another and to show forth the love God has given to us when he was here on earth. So, Sister Carla, I'd just like to lift up a prayer if I can do that.
Amen. Yes, my sister. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father, just to give you thanks and to praise you for your holy day. Father, you have asked that all that will come and serve you on this seven-day Sabbath, and that we will come and place ourselves at the feet of Jesus to have fellowship and worship with one another. And I want to thank you so much for me being here to be able to worship with others. And Father, something I didn't know as I was coming up, didn't get to understand this Sabbath, Father, until I was 39 years old. So Heavenly Father, I am blessed to be able to come before the throne of grace and say, praise God, all those that keep his Sabbath holy. Father, thank you so much. We praise you tonight. We thank you tonight for all your goodness. And you said that if we would just humble ourselves and seek your face, you will forgive us. And then you will heal us also. So, Heavenly Father, as we hear, Father, to thank you for your goodness and to praise you, we are just joyful to hear your word and to praise you. So I just want to say thank you once again for your Sabbath day, and help us to know that God is real and he loves us and we keep his commandments. Thank you, Father. In the name of God, that's all I want to pray. Thank you, Sister Carla. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing, and thank you for offering that prayer. We all need to pray and to intercede on the behalf of others. So it's a blessing that you were able to give us a prayer, and also Brother Eli. So praise the Lord. Welcome, brothers and sisters. If there's any others who would like to share either your testimony, a prayer request, or like to read a scripture, this is the time for sharing. Please go ahead and press 1 so that I can open your line. Happy Sabbath to you. We can be anywhere doing other things, but we made it a point to come and to commune with the Lord and to, lift up each other and to worship together. So I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you, and I want to welcome each and every one of you this evening. Amen. So again, if you would like to share, please press 1 so that I can open your line. I've been reading Steps to Christ, Chapter 5, as I'm waiting for others to join or to press 1 on your telephone keypad, so that will indicate to me you would like to share. Amen? So let me go ahead and do the other paragraph. This is Steps to Christ. Okay. Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to him, but you are weak in moral power in slavery to doubt, controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolution are like ropes of sand. So that means, you know, every time you make a promise or resolution, it doesn't fall through. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affection, the knowledge of your broken promises and forfeit pledges weaken your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you, but you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to man, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot of yourself give to God its affection. But you can choose to serve him. Again, you cannot of yourself give to God its affection, but you can choose to serve him. Amen. You can give your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure, that is the Lord. Thus, your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with him. And we want our affections and our thoughts and everything to be centered on Jesus and to be in harmony with Jesus. Amen. So praise the Lord. I'll go to the next caller again. Welcome, brothers and sisters. 985-323. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. I want to thank him for his blessing and his grace and mercy. I would like to read a prayer. Father, my heart hurts today for every person and every family under the grip of Satan because of alcohol, drug abuse. Please bless those who are terrorized by loved ones and addiction grip. Please give them the strength to seek help and not remain alone in silence. Please awaken their loved ones to the truth of his or her destruction lifestyle. Please prepare the people who can help them begin the road to recovery, health, and freedom that you so long to give them. Please use us, your church, as a place of healing hope for those whose lives are caught up in a tragedy trap. In Jesus' name I pray for the mighty help and power. Amen. Amen. I just want to thank God for his love and kind words to help us to grow and some of us to get a grip on ourselves who's suffering from addictions or whatever. And those to repent, ask God to forgive us of our sins if they caught up in, because we all sin and come short of the glory. So I thank God those kind of addictions are bad. So I just ask the Lord, we just pray for those people and pray, ask for prayer for the sick, those in the nursing home, those in the jail, and all those on the streets, and all those missing members of Advent Light, those that sick or wherever they confined to. Pray for Sister Powell when Jamaica still doing her, making her strong will to done, and the Lord is keeping her in the strength and her health to continue what she wants to complete. And we thank God for Advent Life Family completing their mission, and we are going strong. And they're keeping the lines open with their help. So we just want to pray for all the churches open in God's name, and pray for them, and just pray for all the kids, the young kids coming up, that they can get in touch with God before, you know, their life ends, because they need parts of God. And if they can get in touch with God, they won't be getting vain. And God bless them, Brother John. Amen. John?
Yeah.
Yeah, prayer line. I just want to thank God for blessing us. And happy Sabbath, everyone. Prayer line, babe.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Where you at? Prayer line. Prayer line.
Okay, this is Brother John from home, Louisiana. Everyone's having a blessed day today, or night, whatever time of the day it is on your side of the world. But I just want to give God the praise as always, and just say I've been going through the last few days, and pretty wonderful. Like, things just been going unexpectedly, but really unexpectedly in a good way, though, like surprisingly. Like, I'm doing, you know, taking care of things, and things coming up real, like, surprising me and stuff like that. Just being thankful for everything, all my blessings and stuff like that. And I opened, because I surprised some family members and friends too, spreading the word to them about the goodness of God and things like that. And they were really surprised. They just were listening good, and they came back and told me that they tried some things, some advice I gave them, things like that, to help them out with situations, and praying to God, and believing and things like that when things get rough on. So I was just sharing what I was taught on the prayer line, and friends and family, reading the Bible, sharing with them the things that I've learned, and helping their lives to be more enriched, just as mine's been blessed. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. So I'll keep up doing what I'm doing, spreading his word and sharing, and caring for others and stuff like that, as friends and family has done for me in the prayer line. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. It's a privilege to hear both of you on the prayer line, and to be encouraged to know what you're doing as the Lord gives you health and strength to endure and to help others as you have been helped, you know. So praise the Lord for your ministry and the work that you're doing in your community and amongst your family. And I will finish this last two paragraphs of Steps to Christ. This is powerful reading, chapter 5 again. It said, desire for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go. But if you stop there, they will avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christian. Though through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and power. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live a new life, even the life of faith. Amen. And again, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it said, God's promise is ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So we ought to be searching for the Lord with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind, brothers and sisters, and we will find him. Amen. Again, I just want to welcome each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. And amen. And I'll just play, pray right now so that we can get into the message. Amen. So if you can bow or kneel with me so that I can pray and we can petition the throne of grace. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much for who you are. We want to praise you and glorify and magnify your name, Lord, because you are good and you're worthy to be praised. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, Lord. We ask that you will draw us closer to you. We give up our wants, our needs to you, O Lord. We give up our will that you might take it and use it accordingly, O Lord, and shape us and mold us into the man, the woman, the child, the Christian that you will want us to be, Lord. You heard the prayer requests of the brothers and sisters. You know their desire. Even the unspoken prayer requests I lift up before you, Lord. Please help us, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord. Please bless us and strengthen us that we will be overcomer, we'll be victorious, and that we will point others to you, Lord. We thank you for your promises because they are sure, and you are not like men that you should lie. And we just thank you for blessing us with all heavenly blessing in Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you again, and I submit all my brothers and sisters, those that are on the line. I ask that you will bless them and that you will answer their prayer, that you will heal those that are sick, Lord, mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever is going on, Lord, you know it, and that you will renew a right heart, a right spirit within them, Lord, and that they will draw closer to you and surrender to you and give their life to you. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. And I will go ahead and play a recording. Amen. And this is by Dwayne Lemon, God's Great Desire.
When you read the book Education, page 250, it says that when God made the family, he made them not only to worship together, but also to work together. It's a real privilege when you can work with your family in ministry. It's God's ideal, brothers and sisters. And so I'm grateful that the Lord has done it for us, and the good news is that God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he can do for many. So I pray that the Lord will inspire all of us. It is our closing message, and the Lord has shown us many things. Amen? He's helped us understand how this work is to get finished. But brothers and sisters, I would be remiss if I did not make mention of one of my most favorite topics to discuss, which is God's message of health reform. We must understand that health reform is designed by God to assist us in finishing the work. Many a times people do not necessarily see the connection between health reform or the gospel of health. But I'm praying that there'll be some gems here. Now, I know that we have many professionals and people here, but I want to say this, and I say this with all due respect. I really do. It is one thing to be in the health work. It is an altogether different thing to be a medical missionary. We are not to think that by default, because we are physicians, or because we are nurses, or because we're anything in between, that by default makes us medical missionaries. We are to understand that the great work of God is to bring about both the medical and the missionary work and combine them, that we may present to the people the gospel of health. And therefore, we're going to talk about that in this final closing meeting, because you're going to find that that's what God is going to use to help us to truly do an efficient work. We are told in Inspiration that the medical missionary work is the gospel in practice. And a gospel that's not practical is a worthless gospel. And it is in Volume 7 of the Testimony to the Church, page 62, that we are told that we have come to a time where every member of the church is to take hold of medical missionary work. You should not know medical missionaries. You should be one. Amen? You should not know medical missionary work. You should be one. And I want to share some gems with you as we prepare to close that I'm praying by the grace of God will be very helpful to us, because we're going to look at a very important topic that we have entitled God's Great Desire. And it's a Bible emphasis on health, and that we understand that in finishing the work, there are going to be many things that the Lord has called us to do, but we must understand how health reform plays its role in helping us to accomplish this work. So before we begin, we're going to once again approach the Lord in prayer. So as much as you're able to, if you would, please kneel with me. Otherwise, reverently bow your heads where you are as we approach the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this beautiful Sabbath day that you have given to us. We thank you so much for the Christian Fellowship, for all of the great things that have transpired here. We thank you for the way that your meat was truly feeding our souls. And Lord, we have now arrived at the point of our final presentation for this weekend. We're just asking for double portions of your Spirit as we begin to embrace a very critical part of the work that you've called us to do that will enable us to finish the work, which is health reform. Please, dear God, abide with us now, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, we started our meetings talking about the third angel, and of course we've been going over the principles of the third angel throughout our meetings, and now we will close also on the third angel. And the Bible says in Revelation 14, I want you to see what it says. Now we looked at verses 9 to 11 where it proclaims the warning. It tells us about the beast and how he will seek to infuse his mark upon the people of God, and how we are warned to not receive it. Those who do not receive the mark of the beast, the Bible refers to them in verse 12 where it says, here is the what? Patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, understanding this, we want to be counted amongst these patient saints. Can you say amen to that? We want to be counted amongst those patient saints. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to go through all of this, our years of being perhaps second, third, fourth generation, Seventh-day Adventists, hearing all these messages of truth in Advent hope and all these other things, just to get to a point that Jesus still looks us in the eyes and says, I never knew you. That would be a tragedy. So we're not in this to waste time. We're in this because we love the Lord and we want to be ready for his soon coming. Amen? So therefore, when we look at this revelation of those who will not receive the mark of the beast, the Bible refers to them as patient saints. Now, in order for us to be counted amongst these saints, we must clearly be patient. Would you agree? That's why the Bible refers to them as patient saints. So therefore, that's the experience we need to have, is God's patience.
Now, if the truth be told, many of us today are impatient people. Many of us today are suffering with impatience. We don't have long suffering. We do not know how to endure. We struggle. And we're saying, Lord, how can I be counted amongst this patient saint group when I keep falling every time and losing my patience? And I believe that there's a reason why. Do you believe a God is a God of order? Go to the book of 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, I want you to see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. When you get there, please say amen. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, notice what it says in verse 33. You know, God was obviously counseling through Paul through the church of Corinth because there was tremendous confusion as it related to the glossolalia, the usage of tongues, and all of these things being done in an inappropriate manner. And God had to educate the people to the point that in verse 33, he now makes this point where he says, in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God says, when there's confusion there, I'm not in it. I'm not the author of confusion, he says, but the author of peace. Therefore, he's imploring us to be like him, and he gives a revelation of himself, and he tells us what we ought to be in verse 40, where he says, let all things be done how? Decently and in order. The reason why God wants us to function decently and in order is because he is a God of order. Heaven is a place of order. Therefore, we should be a people of order. Amen? Now, understanding that God is a God of order, God also, he made an order as it relates to walking up the ladder of grace spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 1. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, you'll find that God, he presents to you and I this ladder of grace that as we climb it, we enter into the experience of present truth. That's why 2 Peter 1 and verse 12 says that he is not negligent to establish us in the present truth. If we climb this ladder properly, we will receive the things God has called us to receive. Now, God is a God of order. Amen? So therefore, what we're about to review must take place in our lives in order. Amen? Notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now God begins to introduce this ladder. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Faith. What comes next? Virtue. So does virtue come first, then faith, or faith first, then virtue? So faith first, virtue second. What comes after virtue? Knowledge. What comes after knowledge? Temperance. What comes after temperance? Patience. Wait a minute. I think we just found out why we struggle with patience. Is God a God of order? Yes, he is. God is a God of order. Do you want to be counted amongst the patient saints? Yes, but yet we find ourselves struggling being patient. You want to know why? Because in order for you and I to be patient saints, we must first learn to be temperate saints. No wonder Counsels on Diets and Foods, page 50, says, an intemperate man can never be a patient man. And this is why when we were given health and temperance, God gave it to us because he understood that rightly received health and temperance is designed to help us learn how to not only be temperate saints, but patient saints that will keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is how health reform becomes that right arm of that third angel's message. And this is why God found it necessary for us to go through this topic called God's great desire. We must understand the power of health reform as it relates to the gospel experience. You see, I want you to remember what the Bible says. When you look at the ideal that God has set up for all mankind, the ideal is found in that wonderful little book, 3 John in verse 2. Now, I want you to consider this question. How important is our health to God? Look at what it says in 3 John and verse 2. You remember this text very well. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, here's the question. Is God's great desire for us to prosper and be in health? Yes or no? Yes, God's great desire. Now, he said above all things. That means God puts health on a very high level. Would you agree? Now, here it is that God says, above all things, I wish that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So now here's my next question. How healthy is healthy? You ever thought about that? Now, there's a reason why I ask this question. The reason I ask this question is because many a times when individuals approach health, we look at health differently. I'll give you an example. Today, obesity in the medical field is officially recognized as a disease. Is that right or wrong? Now, there are some people who could care less what their ideal body weight should be. There are most people who don't even know what their ideal body weight should be. And because many a times, as long as the husband or wife is happy with a little extra, a lot of times they don't necessarily treat it with a sense of urgency to say, wait a minute, I need to do something about this. So what happens is you're finding a whole lot of people now who are living with obesity, which is a disease. And if you are obese and therefore have a disease, there's no way that you can truly be prospering and be in health. So you're missing out on God's great desire. There are some people that I know who have high blood pressure and they just simply are trying to learn to live with it. People who have diabetes and they're simply trying to learn how to live with it. There are people who have lots of different diseases and different problems, all sorts of sicknesses, but at the end of the day, they're just simply trying to live with it. And many a times, they will still consider themselves to be pretty healthy. So therefore, what we have to do is take our minds out of our own understanding and lean no longer to it, but now gain the understanding of God. How can we measure health from God's perspective? Because this is God's great desire. Now, the secret is in the verse. You want to know where the secret is? Secret's right here. It says that thou, all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, it's these two words right here. If you want to know biblically, how do I measure health from God's standpoint, then what you have to do is find out, the Bible says, I want you to prosper in health just as you prosper spiritually. The Bible says that, beloved, I wish that you would prosper in all things and prosper in health even as. Now, you will find that the word even as means just as thy soul prospers. If I were to say, do me a favor, set up all these chairs. Let's say this room was empty. And I said, do me a favor, set up all these chairs. You could set it up in circles, squares. You could set it up in any way you want, couldn't you? Because all I asked you to do is set up the chairs. But if I said, do me a favor, set up these chairs just as these chairs are set up, then now you can't just do what you want. You're going to have to do it exactly based on the model. Are you following? So therefore, when God says that, beloved, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health just as thy soul prospers, the only way you can measure health in the eyes of God is you must understand what God wants for people spiritually. Once you understand soul prosperity, you will better understand physical prosperity. So therefore, it leads to our next question. The next question now is this. How much does God want us to prosper spiritually? So notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew 5:48, the Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So therefore, God says, spiritually speaking, I expect you to be what? Perfect. We're talking about soul prosperity. Then it also says in Jude verse 24, you don't have to necessarily do 25, but Jude verse 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you what? Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So Matthew 5:48, God says, I expect you to be perfect. In Jude verse 24, God says, I expect you to be faultless. Now go to Revelation 3 verse 5. In Revelation 3 and verse 5, the Bible says this very, very clearly. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So God says, even though we're in the battle with sin, he says, I expect you to what? Overcome. So here it is. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health just as thy soul prospers. What does God want from me spiritually speaking? He says, I expect you to be perfect. He says, I expect you to be faultless. And he says, and I expect you to overcome. Therefore, what kind of health does God want me to have? Perfect health. What kind of health does God want me to have? Faultless health. And if I'm sick, God says, do not live with it. You must overcome. That should be the mindset of every physician dealing with every patient. Just because a man cannot figure out the disease doesn't mean that God is ignorant of it. God allows us to be limited so that we may access his throne and know how to overcome. Sometimes people say, Brother Lemon, there are certain drugs and natural remedies that cannot overcome certain sicknesses and disease. And yes, that may be true, but you know what I read in Medical Ministry page 12? Medical Ministry page 12 says, the influence of the Holy Spirit can bring healing to every organ of the body. The next paragraph says, the influence of the Holy Spirit is the very best medicine for every sick man and sick woman. Do you know how many medical missionaries will show you herbs before they show Jesus? Do you know how many physicians will show you a drug before they show you Jesus? Do you know how many individuals will go to all sorts of hydrotherapy massages? And I'm not saying that these things are bad, brothers and sisters, but what I'm saying is that we must give people the very best medicine. And that's why it's not enough to just be medical people. We need to be medical missionaries. Because only medical missionaries can give the very best medicine, which is that Holy Spirit. And so you'll find that now that we understand better how healthy is, now let's look at reality. You see, while God has an ideal, it is true that there is reality. And reality is revealed when we ask the question, what will be the condition of the world as it relates to health in the last days? Go to Matthew 24 with me. You see, in Matthew 24, God already told us that these things were going to take place. The Bible says in Matthew, the 24th chapter, when you get there, please say amen. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 24, and we're looking at verses 4-8. And please, once again, when you get there, please say amen. Now, I want you to notice this. In Matthew 24, this is what it says. It says this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, Jesus told us that of the last day events that were going to take place, one of them was pestilences, which we know to be diseases. Now, what's interesting is he said that these will be the beginning of sorrows. When you look up the term beginning of sorrows, it is associated with a woman when she's pregnant going through birth pains. Now, when a woman goes through birth pains, mothers, correct me if I'm wrong, the first birth pain is typically not like the last. Is that right? It gets more rapid. Once the baby's about to come, it gets more rapid. So in like manner, Jesus said not only is there going to simply be disease in the world, but we'll start seeing a rapid succession of various diseases that will begin to flow all throughout the world. Great Controversy, page 589, spells it out like this. In Great Controversy 589, I want you to see what inspiration says. It says, while appearing to children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, this is talking about Satan. It says, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. It says, even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and land, in great conflagrations and fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint. And thousands perish by the pestilence. And the prophet says these visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. And so we find that Jesus, when he said that this will be those birth pains, we'll start seeing a rapidity, a succession of all these different diseases that will start coming on the scene. So while God's ideal is that you and I would prosper and have perfect, faultless, overcoming health, 9 times out of 10, brothers and sisters, that's not our reality. And you know what's so sad? It should have been. You see, if we were following God's plan of health as he told us to, do you know that we would become what Paul says to be a spectacle to the world? They would look at Seventh-day Adventists, and because we were faithful to all of that which Christ put on the blueprint on how to take care of the human machinery, they would have been able to say, man, it seems like we have all the diseases in the world. But every time we see these Seventh-day Adventists, they're not sitting around in the same hospital rooms with us. They're not sitting around in the same clinics with us. They're not there also suffering with the same diseases as us. And they would naturally ask the question, what are you doing? I remember one time I went to get a checkup. And I went to get a checkup at the doctor, and when I got my checkup and they took all the blood and everything, then you know how it is. You got to wait a couple of days, and then they call you back. Well, a few days went by, and I didn't hear anything. So I started to get a little nervous. I was like, well, I wonder what's going on. Here it is that after a while, they didn't call me, so I called them. So I called them, and I called the doctor, and I said, listen, you know, I took a blood test a few days ago. Haven't heard back from you all. What's happening? And they said, you know what? The doctor really wanted to talk to you. Now, brothers and sisters, if you go to get a checkup, you don't hear from the doctor for a few days, you call the doctor and you hear someone say, the doctor really wants to talk to you. Chances are you're going to start thinking some negative thoughts. Is that right? So I said, can I talk to the doctor on the phone? They said, oh, she's busy right now. I said, I'm coming over. So I jumped in the car, I zipped over there, and I walked through the door. And when I got there, this is a true story. I got to the door, and I said, hi, my name is Dwayne Lemon. I'm here to see the doctor. And the young lady looks at me, and she says, Dr. So-and-so really wants to talk to you. So now I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, Father, please be with me. You said your spirit is the best medicine. I'm already thinking I'm sick now. And here it is that I go to the doctor. The doctor says, Mr. Lemon, please come in my office. Came into the office. They put the paper down. He said, Mr. Lemon, I need to understand something. I said, what's that? She said, you have a perfect bill of health. She said, we're not used to seeing this. What are you doing? Naturally, I calmed down, and I began to share with her what I'm doing. God says, I wanted my people to be a spectacle, that the world would look at us, and they would be able to look at us, and they would be able to say, what's going on with you people? You're not suffering like others are suffering. You're different. And it was the door that was opened that we could bring in the gospel. Now, the reality is that sickness and disease is running rampant through the world. Sickness and disease is also running rampant through the church. Many of God's people are suffering with sickness. We gloat over the fact we're number 7 in National Geographic, but I'm sorry, everything that God does is best. I've learned that better is the greatest enemy of best. When I look at us being number 7, I say, Father, forgive us, because you told us to be the head and not the tail. How can a New Ager be better than me? How can a Buddhist be in better condition than me? How could a Hindu be in better position than me? They don't know the God of heaven. So we ought not to gloat so quickly. Thank God, yes, we're number 7, but brothers and sisters, strive to be number 1. To be that spectacle to the world. Now, one of the reasons why there's so much sickness and disease running through the world is because there was a specific instrument. How widespread will disease be in the last days? Go to the book of Hosea, chapter 3. I want you to see this now. Hosea, the 3rd chapter. In Hosea, chapter 3, notice what the Bible says as we consider verse 5. This was a twofold prophecy. The first application of this prophecy we are about to review applied to the Assyrians that were getting ready to come and take Israel captive, but there's also a last day connection to this very same prophecy. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the when? The latter days. Now, watch what was going to start taking place in the latter days. Not again, just in its first application, but in its second. Because remember, David was dead. So therefore, this couldn't be literal. Are you following? So watch this now. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, because when the Bible was written, there were no splitting up of chapters. There was a continuation of the chapters and the verses. So now look at what it says. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Do we see that today? Do we see a lack of truth today? Do we see a lack of mercy today? Do we see that individuals are void of the knowledge of God today? So that's accurate. Verse 2, it says, by swearing and lying and killing and committing of adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Do we see these things happening today? Yes, we do. Now, what's the very first word in verse 3? Therefore, that means because of this. It says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. The word languish means to become enfeebled and diseased and waste away. What was it that the prophet Hosea saw that in the last days would become enfeebled and diseased and begin to waste away? It says, with the beasts of the field. You mean Hosea saw E. coli that long ago? You mean Hosea saw mad cow disease that long ago? And it didn't just say with the beasts of the field. It also says with the fowls of the heaven. You mean he saw bird flu and salmonella and the chicken and all this stuff that long ago? And all these people who love to say Jesus ate fish, listen to this. Jesus inspired through his spirit Hosea to say the last point. Yea, the fishes of the sea shall also be taken away. God prophesied that in the last days, the animal kingdom was going to become enfeebled and diseased. And we are simply seeing it. This is why God gave the movement a message to call people to get off of the flesh pots of Egypt. But you know what? Many of us are just like Israel in the book of Numbers when we said we are tired of all this manna. Give us the flesh pots of Egypt. And here goes God saying, you don't understand. I was trying to in love warn you that in the last days, these things are going to be unfit for human consumption. And as a result of this, it was going to bring about the very thing that I don't want you to have. Sickness and disease. And because many of God's people are still indulging in it, no wonder we still have high blood pressure like everybody else. No wonder we still have diabetes like everybody else. No wonder we're still struggling with obesity and several other types of problems and challenges just like everybody else. Over 100 years ago, God said that the time was going to come that we need to get off of eggs and cheese. And today we still make products with it, and we go ahead and we consume it ourselves. When he said over 100 years ago, the time is going to come to get off of it. Brothers and sisters, eggs is the number 2 most allergenic food on earth. Eggs are porous. Therefore, when the chicken leaves all this feces on it, and then when they spray the chemicals to wash the feces off of it, it's getting through the pores and seeping into the egg white. Fish is the number 1 most allergenic food on earth. Carries the highest level of contaminants, toxins, and everything. So here it is. God is saying, I'm trying to educate my people. I tried to show them that in the last days, these things were going to become enfeebled and diseased. But it seems like we don't want to listen. Therefore, we get the reward of our indulgences. We eat the food. We get the disease. And I shall say this. Many people say, oh, well, God said clean meat, and I don't care what Ellen White says. Brothers and sisters, first of all, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you should care what Ellen White says. Because you don't want to be recognized as a liar. Because if the church was faithful, that means that when we were given our vows, they asked the question, do you believe that we have the gift of prophecy in this church? So if you said yes, you're going to have to come face to face with the fact, did I lie or did I not? That's point number 1. Point number 2, Third Selected Messages, page 84, says, know this for a certainty, that those Seventh-day Adventists who will join under Satan's banner will first give up their belief in the testimonies of God's Spirit. When individuals start saying, I don't want to hear what Ellen White says and all this other stuff, brothers and sisters, they don't even realize they are preparing themselves to join under Satan's banner. And so you find that God is saying, why won't you and I be consistent? And you know what? If you don't want to hear Jesus, you can listen to Barabbas. You can see the world telling us that this stuff is unclean. That's why you got all these New Age restaurants making all the money you were supposed to be making. sad, brother. The New Agers have absolutely, you know, every time we pass these Buddhist and New Age restaurants, it's like a slap in Seventh-day Adventist face. They're saying, they're saying to us, this is what you should have been doing. This is what you were supposed to set up. And you could have done it with the gospel. And you know what they're doing? They're taking their false third angel's message and combining it with their health reform. And that's why when you go in there, they're slipping these little magazines to you, teaching you about all these different gods with two heads and 13 arms and all these other crazy things, brothers and sisters. God says, that was your opportunity. That was my opportunity. And so we find that sickness and disease is running rampant throughout the churches and throughout the world, and people are sick and dying, brothers and sisters. And God is saying, will you please get back onto my health program? Get back on it. Now, whenever a person gets sick, God gave us biblical instructions on what to do. Notice, the Bible says in Proverbs 26:2. Let's go to Proverbs 26 and verse 2. Proverbs 26 and verse 2. In Proverbs, the 26th chapter, notice what the Bible says. When you get there, please say amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:2, as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, what does it say next? So the curse causeless shall not come. Now, that's significant. The reason why that's significant is because, is it natural for a bird to wander from place to place? Yes. Is it natural for a swallow to fly? Yes. It says, so it is that the curse never comes without a cause. The curse causeless shall not come. Now, the reason why this is significant is because when you and I faithfully follow what the Bible says in Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, you will find that the Bible calls diseases curses. This is how Ellen White came up with this thought in Ministry of Healing, page 126, where she says, disease never comes without a cause. And so it is that when an individual has a sickness or disease or a physical problem or mental problem or spiritual problem, God says, don't deal with the symptoms. Do what Job 29:16 says. Go to Job 29. In Job 29 and verse 16, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in Job 29 and verse 16, and when you get there, please say amen. After you understand that the curse never comes without a cause, then the principle in Job 29:16 says, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched it out. So therefore, disease never comes without a cause. Problems do not come without a cause. Just because the medical world may say we can't find a cause does not mean there is not a cause. It just means we have to acknowledge a different information source. Disease never comes without a cause. And therefore, what we need to do is search out the cause and not get so stuck on simply treating symptoms. When a child is rebellious in a home, that's a symptom. The question is, what's the cause? And a lot of times, you know why children act up so much? It's because of their parents. How do I know that? Adventist Home, page 16. It says in Adventist Home, page 16, it says to a large degree. To a what degree? It says to a large degree, the mother and the father create the atmosphere in the home. And it says, and when husband and wife harbor difference against one another, it says the children partake of the same spirit. Many a times when you see little boys and little girls, brothers and sisters fighting against each other, and we say, why are you doing that? You should stop that. Why are you fighting your brother and sister? The Spirit of God is saying, because you keep fighting your wife. Because you keep fighting your husband. Because you two are still holding on to anger, bitterness, and resentment, and you won't let me take it away from you, and you won't remove that pride so I can show you how to overcome. And because you harbor it, I'm going to show you how it's going to have an atmosphere in your home, and your children will partake of it. That's what happens when you start to have the ascertain the cause mindset rather than the treat the symptom mindset. We will begin to understand that, brothers and sisters, If the young people in the church are disinterested in Christ and it seems like they don't want to have anything to do with God, that's a symptom. What you have to do is ascertain the cause. Now, brothers and sisters, I have learned that some of the most responsive people to present truth is young people. What's happening is that the young people, many a times, they're not getting present truth. They're not getting the truth for this time. They're not understanding how does this word apply to me. Even worse is testimony to ministers and gospel workers, page 415, says that we should gather the young men and the young women together in our churches and that we should teach them medical missionary work and combine it with the proclamation of the third angel's message. And she says this will literally bring the breath of life back into dead churches. We keep giving them all these things to treat the symptoms, and we're not ascertaining the cause. So therefore, God says, ascertain the cause, and after we ascertain the cause, then we ought to provide the remedy. Now, understanding this, we're going to look at a few points and then close. What are the reasons for disease? There are spiritual reasons that people get sick, then there are physical reasons, and then there are reasons of God's opportunities. Now, you write those verses down. Just to give you an example of a spiritual reason, you remember Numbers chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. That's talking about Miriam. You remember Miriam got sick. She had what disease? Leprosy. Is leprosy a real disease? Yes, it is. Now, if you were to ascertain the cause, why did Miriam get sick? Was it because she didn't drink enough water? Was it because she didn't get enough exercise? No, Miriam suffered a real disease because of the fact that she was backbiting against the man of God. Is that right? So therefore, brothers and sisters, Miriam got sick with disease because of sin. You remember the man in John chapter 5 who was at the pool of Bethesda. He was sick too. Jesus healed him. And what did he say in verse 14? He says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What caused him to be sick? Sin. So therefore, one reason why people suffer with sickness and disease is because they are indulging and living in the habits and lifestyle of sin. Now, in most medical practices today, you're not going to necessarily be able to tell people that. That's going to be a challenge to do. Are you following? And that's why many a times our professional health workers, they almost have their hands tied behind their backs, because perhaps they may see that these individuals who's visiting their practices and stuff, they may see that, oh, if only they knew the gospel, this would bring healing to them, but they can't give it because of policies and procedures, because of the fact that many a times we're working in hospitals when God told us to set up sanitariums. Did you catch that? And so you'll find that many a reasons why people get sick is because they violate the commandments of God, sin. Now, the second reason, you look at things like Ezekiel. Now, it should be 16:44. Actually, it is 49. In Ezekiel 16:49, it talks about, a lot of people don't think that diet and health and lifestyle affects people's salvation. Brothers and sisters, when you read Ezekiel 16:49, let's go there very quickly. Ezekiel 16 and verse 49. I want you to see what the Bible says. In Ezekiel 16 and verse 49, here's what the Bible says. When you get there, say amen. Now, the Bible says in Ezekiel 16:49, it says, behold, this was the iniquity. Now, will iniquity separate us from God? Yes. But there are many people who say my eating and drinking habits do not affect my salvation. But notice what the Bible says. It says, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. So whatever's listed next, the Bible calls it iniquity, and iniquity separates us from God. Is that right? What's the first thing on the list? Pride. What's the second thing? Fullness of bread. What's that? Gluttony. What's another word for gluttony, or another term for gluttony? Overeating. Brothers and sisters, the Bible calls overeating an act of iniquity. Now, keep in mind that John 3:19 says this is condemnation. That light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. So therefore, it is not that God is saying if you overate, you're condemned. God is saying, listen, if you don't know, if you never understood these principles, then God says, then I need to educate you. But once we're educated and once we know, he says, repent. Your body's not your own. You can't even feed it what you want. That's why Deuteronomy in chapter 21:20, it says that when a child was gluttonous, that the parents were supposed were actually supposed to take the child to the elders. And if the child would not stop their gluttony, you know God gave the instruction to stone the child to death? That's how much God hates gluttony. Because God knows that when we overeat, it has an effect on the mind similar to what alcohol does. That's why in Proverbs 23:21, it says the drunkard and the glutton shall both come to poverty. God literally looks at them on the same par. So God hates gluttony. Therefore, he says, don't do it. So some people suffer with sickness and disease because they violate God's commandments. Some people suffer with sickness and disease because they're violating God's law. And then, of course, the story of John 9, where the man was born blind. The disciples asked the question, what happened? Was it his sin or his parents? And you remember Jesus said, neither. This disease came upon him so that the works of God would be made manifest. And so you'll find, brothers and sisters, that now we must understand this, the solution. The solution, we can look at Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. So God says, I have the ability to preserve. I have the ability to even cure in many respects. But God says, you're going to have to get on my plan versus the world's plan. This is why it becomes imperative that when we want healing and when we want restoration, that we need to make sure that we come on God's program. And brothers and sisters, you know God's program. It's very well. Now, this is just simply providing that, Deuteronomy 28. I said Deuteronomy 15. It was Deuteronomy 28 starting at verse 15, where it lists all those diseases. You'll remember that the Bible in verse 22 called tuberculosis, or rather called consumption, is actually tuberculosis and emphysema today. This is just through medical research. A fever today, chills and shivering fits. Inflammation, arthritis, bronchitis, all the things that end with ITIS. Botch, that's where you get chicken pox and hives. Emrods is where you get tumors, hemorrhoids, and cancer. These were the things listed in Deuteronomy 28 from verses 15 to 63 that God says, if you follow my commands, if you follow my laws, he says, I will preserve you from getting these things. I want you to think about that. Emphysema, tuberculosis, chills and shivering fits, arthritis and so on, chicken pox and hives, tumors, hemorrhoids and cancer, all these different things. God says, if you do things my way, he says, I'll preserve you from getting these things. It's a promise hard to believe in a world that is so anti-God, but God's promises are still sure. And so you'll find that after we understand these things, God says that I have a solution, and it's found in the creation week. Now, here's what's beautiful, and we're going to go through these fairly quickly because they have to have us wrap up in here at a fairly decent hour. So therefore, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. Many a times when we hear about the laws of health, we think this is something that Sister White conjured up. I have learned that the writings of Ellen White are like a magnifying glass. It does not put something there that wasn't there because the magnifying glass doesn't do that. It doesn't take away something that was there because the magnifying glass doesn't do that either. You know what a magnifying glass does? It makes clear that which was already there. So that what you'll find is when you look at these beautiful laws of health, it's not that it wasn't in the Bible, it's just that we couldn't find it. So God had to give us a magnifying glass so we could see it a little more clearly. But you'll find that the principle of each of the laws of health was right there in the Bible. And so you'll find that the solution is in the creation week. We'll go past this for time. Oh, well, this point is important. You remember when God said it was good when he created everything and he said it is good, or it was very good? I do want you to see this one point. It's talking about the word Taub, T-O-W-B, and it actually means beneficial. So when God finished making the open air, he said it was beneficial. When God made the sunlight, he said it was beneficial. When God made the rivers of waters, he actually said it was beneficial. So I want you to hold on to that. Now, of course, the first law of health, you're dealing with nutrition. Now, these are things that you already know, I'm sure. And the nutrition principle is in Genesis 1:29, when God gave the diet unto mankind, when he talked about every tree that grows, every herb that grows off of the tree and so on. Now, what's interesting is that even when flesh meat without blood was consumed, I want you to see what happened in people's life. And this is why this is the best diet for mankind, a plant-based diet. Notice, when you do a comparison of the 10 generations before and after the flood, it's interesting that you'll notice before eating flesh, you had Adam who lived to 930, Seth 912, Enos 905, Canaan 910, Mahalalel 895, Jared 962, Enoch 365, and that's because he never died, Methuselah 969, Lamech 777, Noah 950. This is before eating flesh. After eating flesh, it was very interesting that this started to happen. Shem 600, Arphaxad 438, Selah 433, Eber 464, Peleg 239, Reu 239, Seruk 230, Nahor 148, Terah 205, Abraham 175. This is when man was eating meat without blood and without flesh. Most of us who even consume flesh today, I'm telling you right now, if you are eating meat, chicken, beef, or fish, if you are eating meat and it is not halal or kosher, you are just as much a sinner as the person who is snacking on Red Lobster. Why? Because the same God who said do not eat unclean animals is the same God who said do not eat anything with blood or fat in it. It was a teaching before there was a Jewish man on the earth. You read it in Genesis 9, verses 4 and 5. And you also read it in Acts 15, verses 19 and 20, as well as 29 and 30. It's an Old Testament, New Testament, non-Jewish teaching that God says no fat, no blood when you eat animal flesh. Today, if you're buying meat from the regular grocery stores, if you're getting it from the regular restaurants, all I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is to be consistent with the scriptures. We are no different in the eyes of God than the person who eats swine and eats the lobster, the crab, and the shrimp, and the list goes on. No difference. We are both violating God's laws of health as expressed in the Bible. But this is what happened to people who was eating flesh without the blood, without the flat, before contaminants and all this other stuff, and it still drained their lifespan. That's why God in his message of health reform is calling people back to the natural diet. Because remember, food gets broken down into blood. Blood feeds the brain. The brain is where we get our thoughts. Our thoughts repeated form, our thoughts is where we get our actions. Our actions repeated form habits. Our habits is what makes up our character, and our character determines our destiny. That's the connection between food and salvation. Food gets broken down to blood. Blood feeds the brain. The brain is where we get our thoughts. Our thoughts is where we do our actions. Our actions repeated is where we develop our habits. Our habits is what forms our character, and the character determines the destiny. Now, you might say, wow, Brother Lemon, that's powerful. It is powerful, but I didn't make it up. I'm too dumb to do that. You get that from Councils on Diets and Foods, page 404, and Christ Object Lessons, page 356. All you got to do is read the gifts that God has given to us. Nothing deep. Just read the gifts that God has given to us. God says nutrition. Let's bring it to a close. God gave us exercise. That was in Genesis 2:15 when he caused Adam to both dress and keep the garden. Water. That was in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10, when God set up all the various different rivers. That's how man got their water source, because remember, it didn't rain. Sunshine, that's Genesis 1:16, 17, and 18. And God said that when he gave all these things, remember, he said it was good, yea, beneficial. So it's there in the Bible. Of course, temperance. Where do we find temperance in the Bible? Easy. When God said, of all the trees you may freely eat, but you have to practice temperance and not eat of a specific tree. Is that right? So temperance was right there in the garden as well. Open air. Where was that? That was right there in the second day. Genesis 1 and verse 6, when God made the firmament. And then he spread them out. And God called the firmament heaven, sky, or atmosphere. When God made the open air, he said it was very good. And that's why we should get not just air, but we should get open air. I like adjectives. It's not enough to get open. It's not enough to get air. You got to get open air. It's not enough to get rest. You got to get proper rest. It's not enough to get exercise. You got to get daily exercise. I like those adjectives. These are the things that make up these laws of health found in the Bible that God says, this was my plan on how to preserve my people from getting sick and filled with disease and not being able to be the witness I've called them to be in this world. Rest, well, you know the text for that, don't you? Genesis 2:2, when God created the Sabbath and he gave that principle of rest. Trusting in God, same text. You remember that we looked in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But then in Genesis 3:4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, and it was right there that she had to find out, who does she trust? Do I trust the serpent? Or do I trust God? All of these principles that make up these laws of health, you can find them right around the time of the creation story. If we just faithfully study the Word of God, God says, when you put my laws of health into practice, God says, that's where the blessing is. Today we say we need to drink water, but how many of us do it? We need to get proper rest, but then we're up late at night. So we talk about it, brothers and sisters, but as I've been saying all this weekend, when will we do it? Are you following? And so we find that God says, when I gave these eight laws of health, I gave nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and trust in God. God says, I gave all of these things for my people. And what was the key reason why God did it? The key reason God did it is because of this very important question. Why is taking care of my body so important? The reason is, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you how? Holy. That's completely. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. My hope and my prayer is that we will take very, very seriously the fact that God has called us to put into practice his message of health reform, that we will understand the role that it plays in finishing this work, him finishing the work in us, and then him finishing the work through us to the world, so that finally we can be a people prepared to meet our God. And so, brothers and sisters, if you know that you have not been cooperating with God as it relates to his laws of health, not just knowing it, but doing it, and this is the great call that God is placing upon our hearts right now. How many of us by the raise of hands says, Lord, I will no longer talk about your laws of health. I will no longer have retained in my mind the information about your laws of health. But by your grace and by your power, I will put into faithful practice your laws of health. Would you please raise your hand with me? What you'll find, brothers and sisters, is that when we do this, we're cooperating with God. Because to violate the laws of health is to sin against God. And that's why God says, I want you to cooperate with me because I want to fit your mind, because Romans 7:25 says we serve the law of God with our minds. And the food we eat and the way we rest and the lifestyles we live has a direct effect on the condition of the mind. May we cooperate with God. Amen. Now, as we close, we have a 6-minute clip that we want to put on for you.
Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. That was a powerful message, and it just, you know, I've been rebuked by it. I pray that everyone enjoyed this message and that we will take heed, because our body is a temple of the Lord, and we cannot do as we please. We cannot continue in that way. We have to ask the Lord to forgive us and have mercy upon us to make the right changes and to choose to serve him with our body. And to surrender all to him. Amen. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, again, we thank you for this message. Brother Dwayne Lemon, may you continue to bless him and his ministry, O Lord. May you help us as what we have heard and listened and written down the chapter and the pages for the spirit of prophecy. May we go over these things. May we share these things, because you say you will put none of these diseases upon us that you have put upon the Egyptians. And it's not that you put it upon them, but they choose that lifestyle. They choose that way of living. So in doing that, these diseases will come upon them and any that chooses to live contrary to your will. Lord, have mercy upon each and every one of us. Please forgive us. Help us to get our house in order, this body temple, Lord. Help us to seek you, knowing that this work is a continuously daily surrendering to you, Lord. We thank you and we ask you to bless us to have a good night. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good night, brothers and sisters. Thank you again for joining us. Jesus loves you. Amen.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus?